Amen. Thank you, Tim. Church, you may be seated. I don't know if you listen to the words of that song. It's beautiful, hey? Who are you hungering for? You know, who are you burning up with passion for? Who is it that you are longing for? And we think we can find all the things that we need, the things that we hunger for, the things that leave an emptiness in our hearts and our minds. We always think we can find it somewhere else. And we try all sorts of things. And I don't know what you have tried, but if there's still a gap in your heart and you're still hungering for something, then I don't want to recommend Jesus Christ. He's not something to be recommended. Neither do I want to suggest Jesus Christ. He's not a suggestion. I don't want to say, well, try Jesus Christ. He's nothing to be tried. I want to say, Jesus Christ is the one you're looking for, the one you are longing for. And whether you believe me or not, doesn't change the truth. Christ is the one that you are longing for. I hope that you have come with expectation today. I hope that you have come with love in your heart today. I hope that you have come with a heart filled with grace today. I hope that you have come with open ears and open eyes today to come and hear what God has to say to us. And Nigel is being very brave this morning. Nigel, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Holy Spirit guide you as you share your word with us today, His word with us today.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I haven't done this before, so welcome to the visitors, and I thank you very much to the worship team. There's a lot of my favorite songs there. So a little bit of trouble keeping my composure as I really enjoy singing some of those songs. I'm going to start with prayer. Father, please give us your peace and help us to focus on you during this time. Thank you that we can fellowship with you and with each other. And your Holy Spirit, welcome into this place. Amen. And I definitely felt the presence of the Holy Spirit before. So. So what I'm looking at today is why care for other spiritual condition and how can it boost our faith? The initial topic which Pastor Russell gave me is caring for others' spiritual condition. But I wanted to approach this from a slightly different angle. We've had a few sermons recently telling us we should be doing this and that, and I thought, let's include also how this can benefit us as well. So we'll start with John 4, verse 34. And then Jesus explained, my nourishment, sorry, I'm going to have a drink of water. Stay. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. So it was food to Jesus to do the work of God. We care not just by being nice, but by relating to people and having spiritual conversations. Many non-Christians are interested in spiritual things and are happy to talk, provided we are respectful to them. If we represent God as a caring personal God, we give him opportunity to jumpstart our faith. We don't expect to convert people on the spot, but just sow seeds. We need not hit them with advanced theology, personal stories of how God relates to us will have a greater impact. Relate how God helped us through a crisis, or how his peace helps us to be calm despite all that is going on around us and in the news. Many of us fear rejection or fear asking difficult questions or being asked difficult questions or other fears. These are things I myself still struggle with. I've had to go away and do research on the odd occasion to answer questions. There's no harm in that. My passion is tending to the spiritual health of others within the church, asking how they're doing and praying if needed, not just as a greeting, but really seeking to relate. We can start by coming alongside those who are struggling in their faith, our close friends or family, and in that way gain confidence for reaching out to those outside of our faith. Asking questions is usually not threatening for both parties and a good way to start a conversation. Let's have a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Let's look at an example from Jesus based on John 4 verses 1 to 42. I encourage you to look at this at home. And so this is the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. While heading from Judea to Galilee, Jesus and his disciples went through Samaria. Jesus crossed two cultural boundaries. Jews normally went around Samaria, and men did not talk to women in public. He talked to a Samaritan woman who had come to draw water from the well in the heat of the day, around midday. Normally, the women would head out to the well together earlier in the morning when it was cool. Now, some people believe that this implies that the woman was an outcast. Jesus was alone with the woman, as the disciples had gone to get food. And she had the equipment needed for drawing water. So he asked her for a drink. She was surprised when he asked her for a drink because of cultural boundaries and maybe because she was an outcast. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus took what was common and turned it into a spiritual conversation. Everybody is thirsty for something: power, money, value, recognition, significant relationships, fame, respect, peace, etc. Only God can truly satisfy. At this point, the conversation was probably getting awkward, culturally inappropriate, so Jesus asks her to go get her husband. "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands and you're not even married to the man you're living with now." This puts her in an uncomfortable situation and reveals part of where she is at. So she evades. Notice how she responds in verses 19 and 20. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped?" She moves on to another topic, apparently one that has been bugging her. She said, "I know the Messiah will come, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, 'I am the Messiah.'" I wonder what she was thinking at that stage. The woman left her water jar beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah?" She left her water jar there. She had come to draw water. It was hot there, but she left her water jar and returned to the village. Clearly, she was impressed or surprised, so her agenda changed. Jesus changes her agenda. From this point, she was focused on sharing what she had come to know. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat. "No," he said, "I have food you don't know about." "Who brought it to him?" the disciples asked each other. I wonder if he said to his disciples, "Guys, did you see her? Did you see her face? Did you see the light in her eyes? She just dropped her water jar and went away. Did you see the potential in her life? That's what I came to do. That's my food. That's my nourishment." And this verse again, then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Joy awaits both the planter and harvester alike." Look how the story ends. When the Samaritans came out to see Jesus, they begged him to stay at their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many of them to hear his message and believe. They said to the woman, "Now we believe because we've heard him ourselves, not just because of what you told us. He is indeed the Savior of the world." The woman did not just disappear into history. She had a profound influence according to church history. Her name was Fotini, which means enlightened one. Now, I may have butchered the pronunciation there, but on your insert I've got the pronunciation, the spelling. Her name was Fotini, which means enlightened one. She, like many other women, contributed to the spread of Christianity. She therefore occupies a place of honor among the apostles. In Greek sermons from the 4th to 14th centuries, she is called apostle and evangelist. In these sermons, the Samaritan woman is often compared to the male disciples and apostles and found to surpass them. In the Orthodox Church, Fotini is known not only as a saint, but also as equal with the apostles. Fotini is not someone without a name. Fotini is a beloved one. Eventually, having drawn the attention of Emperor Nero, she was brought before him to answer for her faith, suffering many tortures and dying a martyr. The thought that crossed my mind is, if we take the time to reach out and help others, whether they be within the church or outside of the church, we may help someone who has a tremendous influence on the world, or on the community, on others. And at this time, I want to thank the many who have helped me. I've had a particularly challenging journey, having dealt with some pretty serious health issues, and having been back here for about 4 years, and having other friends in other places also who have helped. I do really appreciate the help that has been given. And I appreciate the prayers and the time of my friends. So I want to encourage us. We never know what the effects of our actions will have. So let's make this personal. Let's think about someone you're concerned about or can reach out to. Someone whose spiritual condition you can minister to. I suggest you pray about this. You might be surprised who comes to mind. I'll give a few moments to think about that. People need to be brought to eternal life. They need an encounter with Jesus. When they have an encounter with Jesus, their script is going to be rewritten. Their past is going to be past. The new is going to happen. And my pages are sticking together. What joy awaits you if you care about somebody's spiritual condition? Do you want to accelerate your spiritual growth? Care about the harvest. Care about planting seeds and having spiritual conversations. Let's learn what Jesus did to demonstrate care. See, common ground. I have a theory that it is easier for us to minister to people with more in common, though I might be wrong. For instance, I would really struggle to witness to someone who is rich or homeless or has a gang background or lots of kids. But I'm more comfortable with those who have an interest in technology, science, farming, or nature. However, that assumes we're by ourselves in the situation. We are not. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us if we welcome Him. Here is where we need to embrace the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. If we approach reaching out without the Holy Spirit, then we are just inviting them to our club. Been there, done that. Not good. With God's help, we can reach into their situation. If it is God's will, He can provide a word of knowledge, prophecy, exhortation, even healing. Water and thirst were common ground between Jesus and the woman. What else do we have as common ground? School, raising kids, similar interests, age, similar issues. I happen to know that there are a few folks here with a similar issue. I had gallbladder surgery a while ago and bumped into a few people who share that, so led to some interesting conversations. Or maybe enthusiasm for our faith. We may also share interest in well-being of our local economy or consumer issues. A, accept people where they are. This can be a real challenge. It is easy to judge without knowing a person, looking at first impressions. Each of us struggle with different things. For example, appearance, odour, their wealth, or their manner, wealth or lack. One of our biggest challenges is not to judge, as this puts up walls and makes relating much more difficult. If others think we are judging them, it can end a conversation. I'll be honest, this is something I'm still very challenged by. By accepting somebody, it doesn't mean that you're approving of their lifestyle or that you're agreeing with their choices. You're just accepting them as God's creation and caring about their spiritual condition. bear in mind, God created them just as much as he created us. Think with me for a second, if Jesus had not accepted her in her current situation, what would that conversation have been like? Consider this. When you or I look at someone and are inclined to see them as less or as difficult, remember that before God, we have the same value. God cares as much for them as he does for us. And maybe we are someone God wants to reach out to that person. God created them too. This is something that over the last few years, God and I have been working closely on. There have been particular situations where I've really felt God saying, I love that person. See that person as I see them. And I encourage you to consider that. It is a real challenge. And it's really opened my eyes to how God sees people. And it's something that I continually pray that God will bring healing in my life and others' lives. So, risk sharing your spiritual story. To open our personal story is much more helpful than whacking them with a 30-second spiel of our fundamental beliefs or a remembered text. Maybe that might help later. Avoid the kind of pushy, preachy, phony stuff that people are resistant to. Instead of making conversion your goal, make a spiritual conversation your goal. Where you risk sharing part of your personal spiritual story, your testimony. What were you like before Christ? What's been going on since Christ? How has he helped you in crisis? You don't have to be perfect to do that. You don't need to have all the answers to do that. If it's too risky to share a spiritual story, start with a spiritual statement. Let everybody notice Jesus' spiritual statement. He said, I am the Messiah. He had that going for him. You and I don't. He also talked about the water that he provides. I would encourage us to really embrace the Holy Spirit so we can provide some of that water that he provides. We've got to come up with another spiritual statement, one that's going to require courage, some vulnerability. Like, a group of friends and I are studying the Bible and we're learning about Jesus. It's real interesting. Or, I go to church every week. I'm trying to figure out what on earth I'm here for. I know life is short and I don't want to waste my time. When you risk this type of vulnerability, this type of one-on-one transparency, that can be more powerful than bringing them to church. That's an important part of your story. God has a story. I borrowed this from someone else, and I really like it. And God's story started with creation. Had an incredible moment when he came to earth in the person of Jesus. Lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay for our sins. So as somebody who is not holy, but separated from God by my sin, I can now have access to a relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's God's story, up until the present anyway. We're looking forward to the future. And finally, you expect God to write the next part of that person's story. E, expect God to, and to do his part. Faithfulness is key in allowing God to produce results. Definition: thorough, true to your word, loyal, reliable, trustworthy, and steadfast. Results aren't up to you. God allows us to be a part of the work. God allows us to be a link in someone's spiritual journey. And when we get to play the role of link, great things happen to our spiritual life. Expect God to do his part. God can use the weak to lead the strong. It is so important to understand we do our part. God does his part. When God gets involved, incredible things happen. I believe that as we become more a part of what the church is about, and as we have more experience of relationship with God, then we will become more confident and we will experience life closer to what God intended. I'll just repeat that last bit. I believe that as we become more a part of what the church is about, and as we have more experience of relationship with God, then we will become more confident and we will experience life closer to what God intended. Let's pray. Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you please give us the names of people you want us to care for? People whose spiritual condition you want us to have a passion for. Lord, you know we have fears. But we also know that you are the Saviour of the world. And because of that, we want these people that we care about to know you. So God, please help us to do our part, to be faithful with the possible, and to trust you with the impossible, the changed life. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for drawing us to you through your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.